ask you to turn in your Bible today to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. I want to just read two verses today. Verses 51 and 52. Matthew 13, 51 and 52. Again, let's give our attention to God's word here. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore, every scribe which is instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Amen. Again, we trust God's blessing upon this portion of God's word read in our hearing. And let's again seek his face for help as we look at it this morning together. Well, let's pray. O God in heaven, our Father, we pray for that Holy Spirit, that for Christ's sake He may come and open up this Scripture to us. Not regarding our sins, Lord, that would grieve Him. Oh, may we not quench Him, but for Jesus' sake, for His precious blood's sake, for His righteousness' sake, imputed to us, in His intercession now on the right hand of the Father. Oh, that He might come and help us and bless us in it. Perfect us that much more today than we were last time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in this portion we have read, these short verses, we read about Jesus' concern that His pupils had processed and had grasped these parables, particularly the ones, as we pointed out before, that were said in the house. You know, He sent the multitudes away in verse 36, and then He came into the house, and He then gave them more instruction, more personally, more privately. He's wondering, He's asking His 12 apostles, Have ye understood all these things? He closes off His ministry there with that question. We read, again, we didn't read it this morning, but verse 53, And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, He departed thence. So He came to the close of His teaching, some publicly, and then now He finishes out that ministry privately in the house with His 12, and He says, Have ye understood all these things? And so today, Jesus is speaking to us the same question, isn't He? Have we understood the things that He is teaching? And so I want to look a little bit with you in these two verses about the importance of the intellect in religion. Of course, the religion we mean is the true religion, Christianity, as we believe, and especially its understanding by Protestants and generally, and then Reformed and Presbyterian more particularly, but the true religion of this book, this Bible. James says, you know, true religion. We're not speaking about just any religion, but the religion of this book. The piety, the beliefs, the practices of this Holy Scripture. And so, Christ is asking us then this question, and it gives us one point that the intellect is important in those that are taught. Verse 51, Jesus saith unto them, Now who's them? Again, we said it's the 12. Those who had sat with him in the house and had heard these parables also in the public and had further than dealings with him away from the multitude, he said unto them, "Have ye understood all these things?" All these parables. He's concerned that they aren't just gathering, aren't just sitting, aren't just making a nice audience for him to have someone to talk to, someone to preach, or some, maybe it's a note in the newspaper. Whatever. His concern is that these men have taken in and have processed and have understood what he said. Especially these parables, all these things, as we mentioned. He is intimating, I think, that he's willing to explain them. If we go back to verse 36, we've mentioned a couple times, it says that Jesus sent the multitudes away and went into the house. So he comes in this place. And then notice what happens next. And his disciples came unto him, saying, "Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field." He answered and said unto them, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." And he goes on to explain it. He did not put him off and say, "You know, what's wrong with you?" He said, we need you to tell us, declare to us, expound to us, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he did. So he asked again at the end of not that explanation and then a few more parables, "Have you understood all these things?" He's willing to teach. Christ is one who came as God's prophet. His prophet. You know, Moses prophesies of him coming and is picked up again in the book of Acts as the fulfillment in Jesus Christ. But it's the prophet that we are to obey, we are to hear and to obey all the things that he tells. And if we don't, we'll be destroyed. So Jesus has come to teach, to inculcate, to put out truth that we are to receive, understand, and obey. You see the great concern that he has that men understand, that they take it in, that they can process it, that they know what he means by his teaching. You know, it's even such that men that are weak, men, you know, in the generic sense, women, children, that are weak in the faith and understanding, Paul says in Romans 14, are to go beyond what they understand. Even if it, the others that are more fully instructed, it's not quite what it ought to be. The mind is so important. The understanding is important. It's the order of God to get to the affections and the will. It's the mind, the intellect, the reason. Sometimes it's called the heart as well. But the understanding. I forget, I think it might have been Ryle, one of them anyway, said, "When we come to church, we don't need to bring our bodies, but our minds. Our minds. It's not enough to come and sit and to, you know, sit through a sermon, the worship, the reading of the scriptures, and go home. Christ says, have ye understood all these things?" Ask yourself that when you go home. If you have children, ask them, "Have you understood?" Us ministers should be willing. We'll come to that in a moment in the second verse we read, but we should be willing to ask and to explain ourselves. Not as well as Christ, no doubt, but under him as his servants, for his sake. But notice how they answer. Jesus is concerned with them, and they say unto him, "Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord." Yes, they were his disciples. They call him Lord. They recognize his authority. They recognize his mission. And they do understand. Now, they don't understand everything, do they? In fact, as we mentioned, and we'll go back and read it again, but verse 36, Christ gave them the parable of the tares of the field. When they come into the house, they say, "Lord, declare us this parable. Explain it to us." And he did. But he didn't stop there. He didn't ask that question after he's done explaining the parable of the tares, at least what we have recorded here. I don't know all the conversation in that house, I'm sure, but what we have from the Holy Spirit that we need is after he did the parable of the tares explanation, then he goes on to the treasure in the, hid in the field. And then the merchant man seeking goodly pearls. And then to the net that is cast into the sea. Gives three more parables. No explanation. Not much. You know, just like this. Last one, he does explain a little bit more about the end of the world, but not the whole parable. Matthew Henry, I think, makes a very good point here. They had understood that one parable that Christ explained of the tares of the field, about the kingdom of heaven. What's the kingdom of heaven like? That gave them light and understanding for the other three. And he said something like this, I didn't write it down, but he said, "One good sermon understood well gives light to understand other sermons." And so they did. They got that explanation, they got the meaning in their mind, in their heart, and then they were able, from that truth, from that knowledge, from that light of grasping the truth there, to go on and to be able to progress, I should say, in their understanding of the other three that he gave after that. I say, "Yea, Lord." It's good to always pay attention and to seek understanding. Because the more you understand, the more you're able to understand. The more you're able to put these truths together and to process them and to say, "Yea, Lord." That's a question for you and me today, though. Can you say with the apostles, "Yea, Lord"? When you read the scriptures, you come to the sermons, Jesus desires you to understand. He wants you to. He's giving out this word for you to understand. Again, let me just emphasize that if you don't, Jesus gives us that example, doesn't he? By the apostles saying, "Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field." And then he goes right into explaining. Seek the Lord for understanding. If you don't, if you can't say, "Yay, Lord, I understand this truth." And we all have things we don't understand, of course. Besides our Lord Jesus. Even Peter said of Paul's writings about the end times, there's things in there that are hard to be understood. So we have to take special care with some of those things, that we don't twist them, as he said, or wrest them into our own destruction. But go to the Lord and wait on him. Not everything comes in a day. Sometimes it takes a lifetime. But Jesus is there. He wants us to understand. So we should not give up. We should continue to try and to pray. Maybe come back to them from time to time and seek them. Because we want to be able to say, don't we? "Yea, Lord." We want to. Because it's our Lord. He's teaching us. He's giving us these truths. So the intellect is so important for those that hear, but it's also secondly important in those that teach. And he tells us that in verse 52. Then said he unto them, Therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. So really, he's given them another parable to explain their office as a scribe instructed into the kingdom of heaven. You see that little word, is like unto. That's the way he uses it all the way through all the parables. The kingdom of heaven is like, you know, the net. Is like the man seeking the pearls, and so on. The intellect is important in them that teach. And they must start by themselves being instructed. Notice what he says. Therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven. That word instructed there is the same word that in its noun form is disciple, a learner. So you'll see it many times, of course, in the Gospels. But this is the verb form. And so it does have this idea to be instructed or to be trained. So not so much the focus is on being the disciple or the learner or the one instructed, the one that is being trained, but the one receiving that. We need to be one to receive it if we're going to teach. You'll see in the book of Acts 14 and verse 21, it says, And when they had preached the gospel to that city, which is Derbe, and had taught many, the same idea, the same word rather, taught many. And so these ones that are going to be a scribe in the kingdom of heaven need to themselves be instructed, need to be one that is learning the kingdom of heaven and have learned. It's one that is a student, is a pupil of the Savior. It's so important. You think about the way that Jesus is showing us in his own example. He spends 3 years with these men, instructing them, discipling them, training them, forming them. You might remember in the book of Acts, chapter 4, when Peter and John were taken into the council and examined about healing the lame man. And all of that. And Peter was very bold and filled with the Spirit and told them that they did it in the name of Jesus. And there's only one name whereby we must be saved. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And these men marveled and they took knowledge of them. They were ignorant and unlearned men. Now you say, Preacher, now wait a minute. You just told us that the intellect's important. Well, those boys were ignorant and unlearned. I don't know if I believe you. Let me just give you that verse in Acts 4 so you can compare it later, know that that's what I'm talking about here. But it is in verse 13. So Acts 4:13. They took knowledge, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. But notice it goes on. They marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. The idea here is they had not gone through the schools, the higher learning. They've been trained. I think all Jewish, even to this day, pretty much, children are trained in the Old Testament scriptures. And many things about the knowledge of that. So they had no knowledge. They didn't have any education at all, but they had not gone to the schools of higher learning, perhaps the rabbinic schools and the schools for the scribes and others. That's what it means by being unlearned and ignorant men. But they had been taught. They had been instructed. They had been discipled unto the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus is not here saying that it's important and then it's not important. No, he's saying to understand, to be instructed, to have the intellect filled with knowledge is so important to be a teacher, a preacher. So they must be one that way. And you think about, let me just say this real quick, the scribe. Therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven. And normally we think of that, I think maybe almost exclusively, it is used in a bad way, the scribes of the Jews that opposed Jesus and that were in that class with the Pharisees. And you think normally of scribes, somebody that, you know, copies the scriptures or something like that. But they were teachers too. And if you just remember what it says, if you want to turn, you can. But I'm just going to read fairly quickly. In Matthew 23, Jesus says, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do." In other words, they don't just, you know, copy scriptures, but they actually teach as well, the Jewish one. So that's the idea here. It's a teacher, a man that is studying the scriptures, studying the kingdom of heaven, being trained in that way. He is to teach. The scribe in that sense, generally speaking, not of that class of the scribes of Jesus' day, that group that was unbelieving, sadly, and opposed their own Messiah, their own Christ. But they are to be instructed. Remember Paul's exhortation to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, the things that Timothy heard of Paul, he said, "The same commit thou to faithful men, which will be able to teach others also." There's that instruction, that passing on of the knowledge of the gospel and of the truth of the scriptures. Well, we have to say that it's not all bad to have schools of higher learning and theological education, biblical education. They can be a great benefit. They can do much good. It seems that they had one in 2 Kings chapter 6 in verse 1. The prophets dwelt with Elisha. The sons of the prophets dwelt with him. And that's when they, remember, said that our dwelling is too small. We need to go cut down some trees and build a bigger place. And remember, the one man borrowed an axe and the axe head flipped off into the river. And, you know, by the miracle of Elisha, the axe head did swim. But the point is, they were a school there of the prophets under the tutelage of Elisha. We find Christ as well in Luke chapter 2. What was he doing? He was sitting there in the temple with the doctors of the law, listening to them, listening, and asking questions and giving answers. So it's not necessarily just one way, but there needs to be instruction. There needs to be those that are more learned, instructing those of us that are less to be preachers, to be scribes that are taught, instructed unto the kingdom of heaven. So good seminaries can do much good. Of course, bad ones can do much bad. We've seen both in every age. The high calling. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul talks about that he who was less than the least of all the apostles, and all the saints even, he says, is this grace given to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ among the Gentiles. He wasn't worthy of it. It's Ephesians 3, 7 and 8. It's a great responsibility. James 3, chapter 3, verse 1 says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." He's speaking then of the tongue. He goes on, because they're teaching. You're speaking. You're inculcating truth. You have a greater condemnation, a stricter judgment, a higher accountability. And so we need that instruction. It's such a high calling. It needs to be before us. And this instruction, this learning, this increasing in the knowledge of God and His kingdom must go on all our days. 2 Timothy 2, you'll remember the verse 15. Paul tells Timothy to study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue. Labor. Work at it. I think Martin Luther said the hardest 8 hours is for the man of God with his books open, sitting there in his study, seeking to work on a sermon. It's hard. It's work. It's difficult. But Paul says, nevertheless, do it. Study. To show yourself approved unto God. To God. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul didn't exempt himself. He's older than Paul the aged. Same book, 2 Timothy 4:13. He says, you know, when you come in the winter, I need my cloak. He left it at Troas, I believe it says. He says, bring the books, and especially the parchments. Most interpreters, I think, and I agree with them, think the books were books of learning. Maybe theology, biblical studies, what have you. But the parchments were the scriptures. He said, especially the parchments. But he bring the books. He was not thinking himself, as we saw last week, to have attained even the intellectual and spiritual knowledge of the book of God. He would study till he died. You think of Tyndale. And he asked for his Hebrew Bible and his Hebrew grammar in his prison as he's waiting to die in London. And thankfully he was given it. He would not be idle. He would not think, well, you're going to die anyway. No, I must study. I must increase. Why to increase? Let's look at that verse again. Not only this scribe need to be instructed into the kingdom of heaven, and we should just say right there, the kingdom of heaven before we go on. Salvation. The place where Christ shows redemption. Do you know the gospel? Do you know that it's not by works of men, but by the work of Christ? Yes, it's by works, not the sinner's works. Christ's works, both of obedience to the law and the suffering of death on the cross. Do you know that you receive that? Do you get a hold of that by faith in Jesus Christ Himself, believing those truths, the witness, as Paul, as John says, that God has given of His Son in this book? As we read this morning in Romans chapter 8, do you know the Spirit of God is given that we may put to death the deeds of the flesh and live unto God? Of course, progressing, not in perfection, but in that aim and that purpose of life, that we will desire it, that we actually do it. Do you have that knowledge? Both the justification is by faith alone in Christ, and so is the sanctification. Because all the means that we have, even the Spirit being given, is through Jesus Christ. Yes, we must labor, but it is again, all of our labors for sanctification are nothing except Christ as their head gives it effect. So we're still looking in faith, aiming our hearts to Him, that He would bless, that He would empower it to make us holier. It's not by our own works we're holy, Not by the law we're holy. Yes, we have better obedience to the law, but it's through our Lord Jesus Christ alone. This is some of the things that a man needs to be instructed into the kingdom of heaven about. And so we said, he must increase that he may lay out this knowledge to others. See what the text says. He's instructed into the kingdom of heaven. He's like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. A householder, or the good man of the house, as the King James says other places, or a master of a house. The householder. This man who has means to entertain his guests. You see, he has a treasure. In other words, a treasure room, if you will. As far as a literal thing. And he can bring things out that are new and old. Some things are aged. Some things had to, you know, come to where they're ripe. And some things are best given out fresh. He has both. He's ready. If we apply this, he said, every scribe is like that. That is instructed into the kingdom of heaven. Like a householder. He must lay up. He must labor to gain constantly that knowledge of the gospel, of Christ, of the Spirit, of the Word. As David Dixon says, he should be provided as with a store, as it were, of last year's growth and of this year's gathering also. Old knowledge, new knowledge, continually adding, as Paul gives us that example, that he may tell us the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. He may exalt Him. He may encourage us, exhort us, even rebuke us in these very things of the kingdom of heaven. He is to stock up all kinds of things, new and old, that he may have to bring forth. I think Spurgeon said, only the things that are worthy should be put in the treasure. A good point. Not a bunch of extraneous things that really ends up being the traditions and opinions of men. The things that are truly treasures, truly will feed the soul, would inspire the life to be like our Lord Jesus. These apostles and those of us that would follow them in the teaching, in the preaching of the church, must have a treasure, our minds, our hearts, that are filled with the truth of God, especially the gospel truth. The Pharisees had much knowledge of the Old Testament, but not unto the kingdom of heaven. In fact, they shut the doors to the kingdom of heaven. They wouldn't go in. They would let no one else go in either. Again, Matthew 23. These scribes that Jesus is speaking of, that he is going to give out and ordain, they're different. They understand the kingdom of heaven. They open the doors for themselves. They go in and they invite others in. Jews and Gentiles. They teach them. Listen to what the Lord says in Jeremiah chapter 3. In verse 15. He says, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." This is God's will for His pastors. To feed the flock with knowledge and understanding. This is right in the context of backsliding children. He will bring them back. How? By the knowledge and the understanding of the gospel. You see, if you just have emotions and affections without the knowledge, the truth, you can be turned any which way. It's not sure. It's not foundation. It's not really Christian. Christianity is built on facts and truth. And those affections, those emotions follow, and the obedience follows. That, the will, in other words. You start with the knowledge, with the understanding, the truth. And then these other things follow. Again, Mark 6:34, Jesus Himself shows Himself to be one of those pastors that His Father sent down from heaven. Jesus, when He came out, that is, out of the desert by ship, He said unto the... He came out, he saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And He began to teach them many things. You see His answer to those that were without a shepherd. In other words, without those pastors that taught them with knowledge and understanding. He was moved with compassion for them. And He began then to do what? To teach them many things. Things old and new. Out of His great store, back when He was 12. He was gaining on that store, wasn't He? In the temple. And He had worked on it all the way. He increased in knowledge and understanding, Luke tells us. The children, don't think you're too young to start that treasure now. You can. Christ did. He's a great example for us. It's His will. It's His way. He, again, is not only that one that commands it or says He'll send it, but He actually gave us the example. He did it. He did the hard work of storing up His treasury. And then He gave it out. He took out of that treasure and laid out the food for each one that came to Him, that He came to as well. Things new and old out of the treasure, out of His treasure, we should say. Brethren, as we close today, let us again ask ourselves, do we want to be able to say to Jesus, after sermons, after reading the Scriptures, "Yea, Lord," when He asks us, "Have you understood all these things?" If we're preachers, if we're given to teach the church, are we instructed unto the kingdom of heaven? Do we know the gospel and the gospel truths? The God's Son, His prophet work, His priestly work, His kingly work, as it affects the church, the individual. And are we treasuring them up and giving them out, bringing them forth? Things we've learned a long time ago, things we've learned more recent. But let's pray for that. Pray for these things to be so. And again, just as your pastor, I offer myself as Christ did to help. And we put out books and things, you know, recommend other, you know, helps and things too. And that's good. I never want to denigrate that. But He's also given pastors and teachers, physical people, real people, to be among His people in His place, not as the Pope is. We're not Jesus incarnate, okay? But as His servants, His servants, His under-shepherds, to help as we can. So, make use of us as you can, as you're able, as you need. By God's grace, we'll be a blessing to you. Well, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, as we come near again Thy throne, we come in the name of our Lord Jesus. And we thank Thee, Father, that He is that great head of the church, the great shepherd of the sheep, and has not left us without the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Has not left the church, O God, without a ministry to continue His teaching, to have the voice sounding still in this earth of the things of the kingdom of heaven, to preach and to explain and to, by Thy grace, give an example in the life as well. Oh God, help us, we pray, as listeners and those that teach and preach, that we might be able to say, yea, Lord, we understand all these things. And when we don't, oh God, help us to ask Thee to explain them. To pray Thy blessings, Lord, upon us preachers. For Lord, we are without help if we're not helped by heaven. That we might be instructed. That we might grasp. That we might be able to explain and teach in a clear way and not a dark way. So now, Lord, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us, Lord, for our laziness. So often we just want things spoon-fed. We don't want to work, to treasure up, to gather, to lay out ourselves and work to understand, to take in, that we might obey, and we might have the blessing of the truth. So now, Lord, prosper. And we pray, Father, as Christ taught us to ask the Father to send forth laborers into the vineyard, into the fields. Lord, raise up young men fired by the love of God, the love of Christ, the zeal for souls, and Thy glory. Train them and fit them to be scribes instructed unto the kingdom of heaven. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.